have our last teaching, I have a special prayer. I'm going to ask Kevin, if he would, to lead a prayer just a moment on behalf of a dear friend of our congregation, Joel Sloan, that almost all of you know. He was with our congregation for a while, and he's come back to teach us about singing, and a lot of kids knew him in camp, and we know that he's really struggling with cancer, and he's having a real hard time at the moment. In fact, Ellen just told me a little while ago that he's been moved to a step-down ICU room in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's incoherent and just having a real tough time. They're hoping this is just, you know, a bad reaction to some of the strong medication that he's on, and that with some changes he'll get through this. But we know it's a really tough time. He's badly sick and tough on the family, and we all love Joel, and so it's been requested that maybe we should have a special prayer for he and Susan. And Kevin, if you wouldn't mind, would you lead our congregation in prayer at this time?
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to come to you in prayer, and this evening request we come on behalf of a very special friend that we didn't know and have been touched by. We recognize that he's been battling this cancer for long. It's been difficult and hard on the family. But this time we just pray that you be with him, that you guide the doctors, that you do something so that he may be healed. We also pray this time, Heavenly Father, for his influence he's had on so many people, and recognize and remember the good that he has done and will continue to do. And we recognize that even in the state that he is in now, he is teaching many others by the way that he and Susan are handling this, the great influence that they are continuing to have. And we know that this is the power of Christ coming through him for all of us. So as a congregation of people who at one time worshiped with him, who have been touched by him, who think about him, we come to you on his behalf.
One other announcement, thank you, Kevin, for doing that. But one other announcement is that the class, the out of high school under 30 class, will meet tonight at 6 o'clock at the home of Steve and Savannah. And so if you're in that category, out of high school and under 30, or, you know, we'll go a little bit on either side of that. If you want to join us, we'd be glad to have you. Meet at Steve and Savannah's tonight at 6 o'clock. You're invited to come. And we're going to be talking about getting through the ups and downs of life, and especially how prayer, you know, is something that God has given us to make us stronger. And so please join us at that time if you can. We have a little time prepared for the kids up to age 5. If any children, parents of children, would like to take advantage of that, you can meet Ellen in the lobby at this time, and she'll be glad to help you with your children. It's really good to see everybody here today. We have a good number this Sunday morning, and we're thankful for the presence of everyone. Like Gary said earlier, we're really glad you're here, and it's good to see you. And if there's any way that we can help you, you know, in understanding or getting along in your relationship with God, we certainly, that's the number one priority, and we'll do anything that we can to help. If you ever have a question about anything that we say in the lessons, the Bible classes, you know, we would just love to sit down and study the Bible and talk to you about it. So thank you for being here today. We appreciate that so much. And your presence, you know, has encouraged all of us and made a great difference in our assembly this morning. Glad you're here and hope everybody's doing pretty well. Some time ago, I bought a book, which I'm going to show you. It's called Chasing Cool. Kind of a strange name, right? Okay, Chasing Cool. And what this book is about is marketing. It's about marketing strategies, I guess, for businesses. And the idea is, you know, if you could just come up with a cool idea, well then, you know, you would be wildly successful, right? And the example that the book gives is the iPod. This book was written in 2007. iPods aren't as hot today because iPhones do everything they did. But back then, you know, when Bill Gates first introduced this, it was like the greatest, you know, coolest, that's the word, right, invention ever. And so if you could just come up with that one idea, you know, you could be wildly successful. And that's one of the examples given in the book. Now, the book's called Chasing Cool, and what that refers to is how, you know, sometimes people want to be cool so bad, they just chase after it, and they mimic it, and they copy it, and that's not really, you know, a good thing to do. For example, Russell Simmons, he's the chairman and CEO of Rush Communications, commenting on the book said, simply chasing cool is a really bad idea, but to be inspired by something that is cool, he says, is a great idea. And so you have companies that are chasing, they're trying to be cool, but really they look foolish because they're not cool, okay? And I guess we could debate what cool is. That depends on maybe what age group you're talking to. But the example they give here is how, you know, there were a lot of other portable audio players that came out. And the fact of the matter is they would hold more songs than the iPod. They were smaller and lighter than the iPod. They sounded better than the iPod. And they were actually cheaper than the iPod. But if you ask any teenager at that time, would you rather have the Rio player or the iPod, what do you think they're going to say? The iPod. Why? Because it's cool. It has the cool factor, you know, that everyone is looking for. And so it's good to be cool, I guess, if you can define what that is, but it's not really good to be trying to be cool when maybe you're really not. Now, William and I, this past summer, we looked at this book and we talked about it, and you might say, well, why would two preachers be reading a book about marketing? Well, you know, the church, the mission of the church is to spread the gospel and to try to appeal to visitors and to teach them about Jesus. I don't like to use marketing terminology talking about the gospel. That's really not appropriate. I'm going to set this book here. If anybody is interested, you're welcome to it because I'm done with it. But, you know, the church isn't a business. But we do have, you know, a mission, and that is to reach as many people as we possibly can. And our campaign for 2014 is, you know, what you see in the Gospel of John, inviting people to come and see Jesus. And I would suggest we got the coolest product there is. Now, the world doesn't always think it's cool, but the best definition of cool, whatever, you know, that might be, is Jesus, you know? Someone who loves us so much, someone who is so good and kind to everyone, and he wants to give us good things in every area of our life. Nothing he ever says is bad for us. Everything he says, only good gifts, you know, come to us from God through Jesus Christ. But William and I were talking about how, you know, there's a lot of churches in our world today that, you can check on the internet, you know, they think of them as cool churches. And they're madly popular with the, you know, younger people especially. And they have cool names. There's several out in my neighborhood. There's a Journey Church, and there's a new one called Epic Church. And there's one called Celebrate Church, and there's one called Church 360. 360? And there's one called, I think it's called 1122, and there's Elevate Life Church, right? You know, and they've dropped, and all these churches are basically, they're just denominational groups, but they change their name because they want to be cool, right? Because that's the popular thing, and people are drawn to that, and they're turned off by, you know, institutional and denominationals in the world today. And so you have all these cool churches, and in their advertisement, they talk about things like, you know, we have an awesome worship experience. And it's like a rock concert. You know, if you look at the pictures, they even talk about when to start the smoke machines, you know, just kind of introduce it gradually, and they have dark lights, and I challenge you to look at their websites. It'd be hard to distinguish between a rock concert and that. And they have preachers. Someone said they all look like Justin Bieber, okay? I don't know what that is. Or maybe someone else, but, you know, cool churches. And so, you know, William, something I liked about him is he loved to go to these churches and just, you know, observe. And what can we learn? You know, we can learn some things. Maybe they're doing something that we can find useful and that we can apply and use as we try to teach the Bible. In fact, this idea of the YouTube or the YouVersion Bible app, he picked this up at, I think it's the Elevate Life Church. It's in Oak Leaf Plantation. And if you've done the search for the live events, you've seen all the other groups that are using it. Some of them have the traditional names, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church. Some of them have these cool sounding names. And so, you know, maybe there's ideas that they have that are good that we can use. Just because we don't agree on every doctrine doesn't mean they don't teach a lot of things, you know, that we can benefit from or that we could receive encouragement from as we still try to stand for what we believe, you know, the Bible to say. And so I want to talk about this idea and a couple of, you know, observations that we had as we were thinking about it all. And number one is authenticity. See, that's what the book says, is that when churches try to be cool and they're chasing after cool and they're just, you know, adopting the latest fad, businesses or churches, this would be true, you know, they become inauthentic. And more important than chasing the latest fad is to be authentic, be true to our core values. What are our core values? I would suggest it's found in 1 Corinthians 13:13. That's where Paul said, you know, now abide what? Faith, hope, and love, these three. And the greatest of these is love. And he was talking there about how in the early church, they had these miraculous spiritual gifts. And the Corinthians were all excited about the spiritual gifts. And Paul said, these gifts are temporary. You know, they're going to pass away. But he said, love abides forever. And he said, there's three things that abide forever. You know, the church had spiritual gifts in the beginning, and they were to use those gifts. But they needed to have faith and hope and love. And we don't have those miraculous gifts today, I don't believe, but we should still have and must always have faith and hope and love. I visited two churches over the Thanksgiving holidays. We went to Kentucky, we went to Tennessee. Ellen's family, my family, visited two different churches. One was a very traditional church, one was a more progressive church. You know, one church had a regular traditional schedule, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The other church had a non-traditional schedule. The other church had a different way of doing their song service. It was a cappella, but they didn't do it, you know, just exactly as far as the leading, the way that we do it. And I don't think either of those groups was wrong. You know, they just made decisions of how they were going to try to edify their members and reach their community. As long as they're operating out of faith and hope and love. Faith means, of course, respecting God, listening to God's word, carefully, you know, following what God has said, trusting Him, doing what He has said do to the very best of our ability. We have to be a group of faith. Hope has to do with, well, there's a scripture in Luke 7:22 that talked about when Jesus was here and He was talking about His ministry. And He said, go tell John the things you've seen and heard. Blind see, lame walk, lepers cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. You know, all of these hopeless, painful, difficult situations. You see, a lot of people would look at and say, that's not cool. I don't want to have to get involved in situations. The true gospel is going to, now really it is the coolest thing ever to see someone who's struggling, you know, whose life is hurt. Get them back on track and let them find hope, you know, through Jesus Christ. That is, I believe, a great, wonderful thing to be a part of. But that's what, you know, the gospel is really about. And then he says the greatest of these is love. You know, churches need to be places where, you know, there's great love. And sadly, in trying to be cool, I think we sometimes fail to love as we should, because often cool has to do with what I like. And you know what my peers and people my age like. And if we demand that it be cool as we understand it, we might make people who are older or younger than I am kind of uncomfortable and exclude them. And you miss out on one of the most important things about a church. It's supposed to be a family, you know, where you have the little children and the teenagers and the young adults and the families and the older people, you know, and it's just all working together like a family. And sometimes love is sacrificed. And so I think we need to remember to be authentic. That's more important than being, you know, what the world considers cool. We have to be authentic. Number two, we need to understand that people are going to be offended. Yeah, I think sometimes we think if we just, you know, change everything into the most modern and the coolest way possible, everybody's just going to flock in and, you know, we're going to grow by leaps and bounds. And if we can just figure out what the magic formula is, well, the magic formula is the gospel, you know. It's Jesus. And you know what Jesus talked about there was how, you know, all these things are happening. And he said in verse 23, blessed are those who are not offended because of me. And when we're really like Jesus, there are going to be some people who are offended by him. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. There are always going to be people who, if we teach the gospel, teach the Bible, and we try our best to package it, you know, to have great worship services and to be outstanding in everything that we do, we should never, you know, do less than the best of our ability. But even if we do our very best, You know, if we're teaching the gospel, there are going to be people who think it's foolish and who think we're fools for believing it. And that is always going to be the case. A little bit later in that chapter, he said, "You see your calling, brethren, not many wise, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." There are people in this world who, because of their pride, they just don't want to submit to Jesus, and they don't want to accept the simple gospel. You know, and they don't want to be the servant, you know, that Jesus says we have to be. And so we shouldn't think that, you know, we can come up with the perfect way of doing things. If we're teaching the gospel as we should, there are going to be people who are offended by it and who don't like us and who, you know, want to have nothing to do with what we are standing for. The next verse there in 1 Corinthians says, in fact, that God has chosen foolish things of the world to kind of weed out the people who think they are so wise and so smart, put to shame the wise. God has chosen weak things of the world. You know, God has chosen to be a part of His church, a part of His kingdom, the nature of it and the things that we do. He has chosen things that the world, you know, mocks at, you know, and laughs at and ridicules. And we have to decide, are we going to do it God's way and suffer this reproach, or are we going to compromise, you know, and try to be more favorable, more popular in the world? God has chosen the base things of this world, the things that are despised, God has chosen, things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. And here's the reason why. Verse 29 says, He did it this way so that no flesh should glory in His presence. And so you got to be humble, you know. And there's nothing glorious to me or to my name or to you or to your name, you know, personally about the Christian faith. You know, in another place Paul said, God forbid that we should glory except in the cross of Jesus. You know, and in trying to be like Him, trying to follow His example in the way that He laid down His life for others. You know, I think about some things that we do, and you know, it's the conviction of our church that we worship God in our singing a cappella. And like every question, you know, we should continue to study and examine God's Word. But that's, you know, the consensus among our folks here, and that's why we worship God without a band, without an organ, piano, guitar, you know, instrumental music. And let's just suppose that that is God's will. You know, that's something that the world looks at, and it's despised in the eyes of the world. And they look down on it, and they think it's foolish, and they think it's base, and they think it's, you know, foolish and weak. And you could do so much more. But if that's what God says, you know, that's what we need to do. And that's what a faithful church will do, what God says. Again, I think we can continue to study all questions and seek God's will. But that's just one example of how sometimes doing what we believe is right is going to lose some friends for us. And we shouldn't think, you know, that we're the problem, or, you know, it might be just because we're trying to be the people that God wants us to be. And the last point I want to make here is what he says at the end of this chapter. The fact is, we have the coolest thing that there is. And forgive me if that's not the best word to use, but it depends on what you mean by it. But really, it's Jesus. You know, there's nothing better. There's nothing more loving, kinder, helpful, you know, offering blessing to other people. Nothing better than Jesus. Paul said, we shouldn't glory in ourselves, but we should glory in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom and righteousness. It's like our Lord's Supper talk, sanctification, redemption. He did all of these things for us. He saved us. He redeemed us. He made us holy. He saved us from our sins. He gives us wisdom. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, I believe it is, says, in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Isn't that an amazing statement? Everything we need to know to really live our life and to be fully blessed, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it says, therefore, as it's written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Jesus, you know, is the greatest thing there is. And that's what the gospel is all about. And so we should be excited to do everything we can to share that with everyone. I appreciate you listening to our lessons today. We're going to sing one more song this morning, I Am Resolved. And I want you to think about how wonderful and how great these blessings are in Jesus. He gives us everything that we need, chiefly and beginning with the forgiveness of our sins. Now, we don't have to feel guilty any longer for anything that we've done. And then he gives us this great mission in life, and he gives us, you know, a great way of life, rules to live by that are good for us in every way. And he gives us this great wisdom. It's all because of Jesus. And he died on the cross for our sins. The payment has been made for everyone. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you know, that payment is waiting for you. He wants to forgive you and make you his child. And, you know, I just hope no one would wait any longer to do what God has asked them to do in order to become a Christian and have their sins forgiven. If there's anyone here this morning who wants to respond, you're ready. We're ready and we want to help you. We sing this song for you at this time. I invite you to come as we stand and sing now. Let's all sing.